Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
A number of years ago, in the Miami Herald, they
put a story out there about a British couple. And just like any married couple, they were excited. They had their ceremony. They went to a church building. They thanked God. They asked Him for His blessings. They vowed to one another. But at the reception, this new bride saw her new husband having a conversation with an ex-girlfriend. Number one, just a word of advice. If you get married, maybe inviting an ex to the wedding, not the greatest idea, okay? But let's get back to the story. But because of that, an argument arose between him and her, and immediately they wanted to be divorced. That's the quickest marriage divorce I have ever heard of. But it happens, doesn't it? Marriages are falling apart left and right all over the place. And it's sad to see. See, that's not what God wanted. God is the one who created marriage. God is the one that wants it to be honored. God is the one that said, women, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Now, this is always a tough topic for a preacher to preach on. You want to know why? Because I'm a man. and it's not easy to preach this as a man to women. But nonetheless, it's what God's Word says. It's not me saying this. It's God saying it. There was a woman by the name of Carol Mayhall who wrote a book called Marriage Takes More Than Love. She struggled with this passage. This is what she had to say in her book. Submission? How I hated that word. When it flashed into my mind, all I could conjure up was a non-entity, a nothing sort of yes woman. I didn't want to be only a reflection of another person. Yet here I was faced with the no-nonsense command of God. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. I had argued with God and with everyone else that this verse could not mean what it looked like on the surface. It was surely a cultural statement that had meaning only for Bible times. My next attempt was to reconstruct the verse to read, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as to the Lord when they are acting like the Lord. But I knew it didn't mean that. As I searched the word that fifth year of our marriage, I had to conclude that this verse meant I was to submit myself to Jack in the same free and nothing held back way that I wanted to submit to Jesus Christ. Up to that point, I had felt that marriage was a 50-50 proposition. And if Jack would give his 50%, I would give mine. However, it seemed that frequently we would fight to determine whose turn it was to give that 50%. I had yet to learn that a happy biblical marriage is one that is a 100% proposition, with each partner willing to give 100%. Before I get too much further into this idea of submission and subjection, a lot of times husbands want to point to this verse and say, hey, wife, do you see that? The Lord has a couple more things to add on to husbands. You know, wives only have a few verses here, but the husbands have a whole lot more in regards to their responsibilities. And so understand that we are both called as husband and wife to be doing a lot more than we probably are doing right now in our own marriages. If you are a wife, are you submitting to your husband? Try to view your marriage as an observer, not just from your own eyes, but pretend you're one of your children. Pretend you're someone on the outside looking at your marriage. What do your children see? What does your friend see? What does the stranger see? Do arguments happen often? Are your conversations characterized by complaining, by blaming, by nagging? Do you build up your husband or do you tear him down? Do you want to control matters or do you let him lead? Does Jesus approve of the way you are following your husband's leadership? You see, it's not just wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. He goes on to give an illustration, starting in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. When it talks about the husband being the head, when it talks about Jesus being the head, when you look at the whole book of Ephesians, Jesus has given up everything to save the church, to build the church, to make the church his bride. Not just any bride, but his bride, one that is radiant, one that is glory, filled with glory, one that can come to him without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, that is cleansed, that is sanctified. He has done everything in his power to make the church holy and radiant and beautiful. And he is the head of the church. He is the leader. And we look to him for guidance. And as we look at husbands, it says that the husband is the head of the wife. This word for head doesn't necessarily mean you are the dictator. While men might like to hear that, you know, what I say goes, I am the dictator. It has more to do with the idea that you are a good manager of your household, that you are leading in a way that leads your wives to the Lord, that helps your wives understand what they need to be doing. They're looking for a spiritual leader in the home. And God's given you that responsibility as the head. And so wives, submitting to your husbands, while it is an interesting word for our time and in our days, I want you to understand that. In our time, we're being told constantly, you do what's best for you. And the way we determine what's best for us is, well, it's whatever you feel is best. It's whatever you think is best. Unfortunately, because of that, we've chosen to do a lot of things that may feel good for ourselves, but destroy our relationships, hurt the people around us, and it's destroying our families and our marriages. You need to do what's right and what's good for you. But what is that? It's what God has told you to do. In verse 22, you might have noticed this in your translation. Mine has "be subject" in italics. You want to know why? Because you can't find that word in the Greek right there. Now, is he saying women don't have to be subject? No, because you'll find it in other passages here in the following verses. But what that does is it connects it back to verse 21. Because that sentence has to have a verb. Where do we get the verb from? It comes from verse 21, "and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." This idea of submitting to one another, lifting others above yourself, looking out for the person next to you. Not only that, but in verse 21, be subject to one another in the church, right? He's not talking about husbands and wives yet. He's talking about the church. And so we are to be submitting to one another within the church, lifting one another up in the fear of Christ. But he says that carries on over into the marriage relationship. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Husbands, in a sense, you are subject to your own wives because of what verse 21 is saying. So what does submission mean? Submission does not mean inferiority. Male and female are both created in the image of God. We are equal in value and worth before God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Number two, submission is necessary for a wife to attain full joy in her life and marriage. Only when a wife fully submits to Christ and His will for her life can she know the true joy that God has for her. Number three, the failure of the wife to submit forces a husband into a role that God never intended for him. It can drive him to fight for control, to become a dictator, to become one that is really abusive. It also can cause him to become a yes man, where you have taken control as the wife in the marriage, and when he gets home, yes ma'am, I'll do anything you say. It doesn't matter what I think, it doesn't matter what I say. Four, submission does not mean blind obedience. No husband has the right to make his wife accept abuse or actions that go against God's will. Number five, submission does not mean that the wife cannot share in the decision-making process in a family or in the discipline of their children. The husband doesn't give up leadership by sitting down and visiting with his wife about what's coming next. What should we do? When I chose to move across country to come to this congregation, do you think I did it all by myself? You think my wife had a few things to say? Yeah, she did. Ultimately, it was on me to decide as the head of the house. But we certainly had to talk things out. It wasn't just me that I was making the decision for. It was everyone else within my family. So that does not mean she doesn't have a role in helping making those decisions. So here are some suggestions for wives in regards to submission to their husbands. First off, ask the Lord to show you how well you are doing in this. Pray to God. Ask Him to help you in this. For some people, it might be easy to do. For others, submission might be a more difficult task. But ask God for help. Ask Him to show you. Second, look for opportunities to affirm the godly leadership and role of your husband. Build him up as that leader. Help him in that way. Third, honor him with positive thoughts about him. I want to read an excerpt from Sandra Woodruff, who said these words to ladies. Beware of those coffee clatches with the girls in the neighborhood or on your coffee break at work. I have noticed that husbands often get skewered, cooked, and eaten at those gatherings, figuratively speaking. And at a 10 o'clock gab session in the morning can have a subtle but powerful impact on how a wife will treat her husband in the evening. Sue complains about her husband, Gretchen. About her husband. Gretchen complains about hers, and others join in with similar complaints, agreeing that men are all alike. Everyone feeds on everyone else's grievances. I would like to challenge us to break that truly vicious cycle. Begin by spending time thinking about warm thoughts of your husband. And next time your friends want to play "Ain't Hubby Awful," let your responses be only positive ones. Build him up in the eyes of others. I don't normally do this, but how I'm approaching this morning is basically a two-part sermon. What I want to do right now is to have a prayer. And then we'll move into the husband's side of things. So get ready, boys. Let's pray. Most Holy God, we thank you for your plan for the home. Thank you for all the women who honor you because they have chosen to follow Jesus. They are a strength to us in this church. Thank you for the wives who follow the leadership of their husbands. Grant them the joy that comes with obedience to your word. God, please help make our home strong. Raise up men who will be the spiritual leaders and the blessings to their wives and children. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the honor of being in his church, being a part of your family, to know him as our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, boys. You ready? If you continue on here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Ethelgard Smith wrote a book back in 1992, and he titled it, What Most Women Want, What Few Women Find. What Most Women Want, What Few Women Find. Within his book, he said, what is it that most women want in relationships with men? Equal opportunity in the workplace, dignity in the home? Hardly anyone in the Western world at the end of the 20th century would suggest that it ought to be otherwise. Yet for many women, the more firmly entrenched women's rights and opportunities have come. The more their desire for fulfillment in the workplace and in the home has eluded them, careers often fail to satisfy. Marriage and home life is not at all what it was made out to be. Whatever their day-to-day relationships with men, many women sense that something significant, something basic, is missing in their lives. If asked, few women, indeed few men, could put their finger on this problem. Who would ever guess that what most women want, but only few women find, is a male spiritual leader? What women not only want, but what they need is a male spiritual leader in the home. As we look at Ephesians chapter 5, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. It sounds simple. Well, of course, I love my wife. I tell her that every day. I give her a kiss before I leave and head off to work. I love my wife. But sometimes we complicate matters in regards to love. Sometimes we say, love often just comes with strings attached. For instance, to some, love is treating her well as long as she is young and beautiful. To others, it means being good to her as long as she's good to you. For others, well, I'll provide for her in exchange for her efforts to keep the house clean and to rear our children. Is that love? Is that what God is saying here? You know, Paul didn't give us, as he writes this letter, he didn't give us the room to add laws to what God has given. He said, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. How did Jesus love the church? What did he do? I want you to think about Jesus for just a minute. Did he subject himself? Did he submit himself? He did. In fact, we see numerous examples in the book of Hebrews and in Philippians and just through his life and how he submitted himself to his own Father's will. He left heaven. He was compelled to. Why? It wasn't just because it was the Father's plan. It's because he loved you. It's because he loved me. And so he left heaven, where all that glory is, and he came and became a man on earth. He subjected himself to the Father's plan. And as he lives his life on earth, he's constantly challenged by temptations, by things that Satan wants him to do. We read about temptations in Matthew chapter 4 just a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, and we talked about some of those temptations. There are moments when he had to kind of get away because the pressure was getting to him. Where it was, Jesus, we want to make you king. Jesus, we want to make sure that you're leading everyone here on earth. And you know, Jesus had to get away a couple of times and go to the Father and pray and recommit himself to the plan of God. And he did all of that leading up to the cross. We were at Polishing the Pulpit this last week in Tennessee, and I never took time to look at the setup that they had in the lobby as you walked in. But somebody brings their whole setup of various historical evidences and facts, and they set it up in the lobby area. Well, this year we kind of took time to look at it, and one of them was looking at what they did to Jesus. And it had a picture, and it had images, and it had words describing the scourge, the scourging, the whipping, the lashings that he took. And that was before he went to the cross. And how they have just beads, balls of metal and bone that would just strike his back and rip that flesh. Bruise him, beat him, and tear him up. And then you had the soldiers that mocked him, made fun of him, gave him a cloak, gave him a crown of thorns that they made and put it down on his head. And then he had to carry his own cross. But he couldn't do it for very long, and so the Roman soldiers had to ask for someone else, for Simon. They grabbed a guy from the crowd. Hey, come carry his cross. And then they nailed him to that tree, to that cross, and lifted him up. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was nailed to a cross. He died for the church. He sacrificed himself. Husbands, are you ready to love your wives? Are you ready to love them the way Christ loves the church? You better be willing to sacrifice. You need to be willing to lift them up and to help them when they are drowning in some of the responsibilities that they have. I know I need to do a better job of it. I get to stand up here and talk for 25, 30 minutes. Sometimes I go over that, 40 minutes, and you guys are looking at me, shut up, please, at some point. But I'm up here talking, and I get to talk about these things. And my wife's back there holding one of our children because he couldn't be quiet. She often has to leave and walk out, or she has to take them out and spank them and discipline them. Sometimes I feel like I'm not doing what I need to do. I know this is my job and this is what I need to be doing right now. Sometimes I feel like more gets put on her plate because of what I have chosen to do with my life. And I need to be respectful of that. And I need to make sure that I am willing to sacrifice in other areas to help her. Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her, verse 25. Notice what else he has done. It says, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, verse 26. Verse 27, why? That he might present himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. How are you treating your wives? How are you honoring them? How are you loving them? Here's what Jesus has done for the church. He says, I want you to be radiant. I want you to shine brightly. How often are we throwing dirt on our wives so that they're not even able to shine? So that we can't see that glory, so we can't see their radiance, so that they're filthy instead of clean? Are we spiritually leading them to destruction, or are we spiritually leading them to glory? Verse 28, so husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. See, not only do we get to have the illustration of Jesus loving the church, but then he says, if you don't quite understand that, if you don't quite get that, think about yourself for just a minute. You'll do anything and everything you can to take care of your own body. When you're hungry, do you feed yourself? No, that's her job. No. I'm just kidding. It was a joke. All right, just want to make sure you got that. It was a joke. It was a bad one, but it was a joke. But you feed yourself. When you're dirty, you bathe yourself. You have needs, and you take care of those needs. He says, you love your own bodies. You take care of yourself. You better take care of your wives. Trying to grasp the love of Christ that he had for the church is hard to do. We can read it, we can see it, but to really grasp that love is hard to do. In some respects, it's incomprehensible what he's done for us. But husbands, with that, with understanding how hard it is to quite grasp his love, what that should do for us is it should drive us to our knees, where we bow before the Father, understanding the fact that he's given us a responsibility in our role as a husband. We need to be prayerful because he's put it in your hands to care for your wife, to lead your family to glory, to radiance, to keep your marriage before God. Is something we need to do each and every day. I said I had a few sermons here. I'm ready to preach a third one, but we're running out of time. So just some practical notes for husbands, just as I gave some practical notes for wives. First off, give your time. Give her your time. She is your number one priority after God. Give her your time. Second, give her your presence. That doesn't mean to just simply be in the room physically, but to be there emotionally, spiritually, and in every way that you can, intellectually, any other ways that you can throw in there. Give her your presence. Too often, I've been in a room with my wife while I'm here, but I'm staring at my phone, doing something else. Give her your presence. Give her the truth. Take spiritual leadership in the home seriously. Give her the truth that is needed. Share with your wife and your family. Continue to learn together from God's word. Next, give your prayers. I already said we should be driven to our knees, but give your prayers to the Father on her behalf. Show her that you love her because you are praying for her. And not just praying for her, but praying with her. Pray together. Mark Posey is a well-known preacher in the Brotherhood. He writes a number of articles for the Gospel Advocate. But he gave a sermon one time about 7 habits for husbands to use within their marriage. And when he talked about prayer, he gave the illustration of a Sunday morning, where he is rushed, he's ready to preach, and I fit into this mold because Sunday morning is a big work day for me. And it's a big day for me before God and before you. And so I can see this anxiety within him. He's ready to go. She's holding him up. She's doing something. Or she asked him to do something before he was getting in the car, and he snapped. And he started to say some things to her that he said, I wish never came out of my mouth. But he said those things, and then he walked out that door, and he slammed it shut, and he got into his car, and he shut the car door. He started his car. And then he stopped. And he thought for just a moment. He said, I'm about to go and stand before a bunch of Christians. I'm supposed to be preaching the Word of God, and I'm failing in this area of my life where God wants me to succeed. And he knew what he did was wrong, and so he stopped the car. He got out. He walked back inside. And as he walked around and turned the corner of the hallway, he heard her talking. And so he stopped and listened. And after a few moments, he realized what she was doing. She was praying. She was praying out loud to God. And she was saying things like, God, he is a better man than what he just showed. Forgive him. He said after a few moments, he couldn't take it anymore. And he ran up to her and he hugged her. And he said, we went to the kitchen table and we sat there and we held hands and we prayed together about what they needed to change and what he needed to do. Give her your prayers. Give your forgiveness to restore the relationship. Be willing and ready to forgive. She's going to wrong you and you're going to wrong her at times. You need to be willing to forgive each other. Give your leadership for the home and for the family. Make sure that you're taking the time to actually lead. Sometimes it's easy to just say, well, we went to church, we went to services, we did this, we did that, but what else are you doing to help lead your wife and lead your family? And then give your all. Simply give your all. It's going to take everything if it's going to succeed. If you check out, if you only give 25, 50, 75%, at some point, it will give and it will fail. Be willing to give your all as the head of the house, as the head of your wife. If you're not willing to give it your all, it's certainly hard to expect her to give her all. Be someone that makes it easy to submit to. Be someone that glorifies her and builds her up. And I guarantee you, she will do the same for you. We have been completed in Christ. That's been our theme for the year. As we've been preaching through Ephesians, we've talked about a number of things, but the focus has been to walk worthy, found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Right here, we need to make sure we walk worthy as husbands and wives. If you need to come forward this morning to ask for prayers on your behalf, with your relationship, with your wife or with your husband, or if you're here this morning understanding that you need to live life the way God has commanded, and you're ready to give your life to Him through baptism, please come while we stand and while we sing.